gospel today is from Luke chapter 4, beginning with verse 42.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The next morning, Jesus left the house and went to a lonely place. The crowds followed, and when they found Jesus, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But Jesus said, "I must proclaim the good news of God's reign to the other towns too, because that is what I was sent to do." And he continued preaching in the synagogues of Galilee. One day, Jesus was standing by Lake Gennesaret, and the crowd pressed in on him to hear the word of God. He saw two boats moored by the side of the lake. The fishers had disembarked and were washing their nets. Jesus stepped into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to pull out a short distance from the shore. Then, remaining seated, he continued to teach the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Pull out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Rabbi, we've been working hard all night long and have caught nothing. But if you say so, I'll lower the nets." Upon doing so, they caught such a great number of fish that their nets were at the breaking point. They signaled to their mates in the other boat to come and help them, and together they filled the two boats until they both nearly sank. After Simon saw what had happened, he was filled with awe and fell down before Jesus, saying, "Leave me, Rabbi, for I am a sinner." For Simon and his shipmates were astonished at the size of the catch they had made, as were James and John, Zebedee's sons, who were Simon's partners. Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll fish among humankind." And when they brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Grace and peace be to you from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. And so it begins. I'm referring to the passage from Acts, where it talks about how the apostles or the disciples say, "Hey, we need to identify some folks to help us carry out the ministry of the church." And so it happens that the kind of first steps you might see as steps toward hierarchy or organization start happening. And certainly the word used to capture this serving that they were doing and the waiting on the tables, etc., is the root is diaconia, which we get the word deacon from. And sir, in the Lutheran Church, we have diaconal ministers, and there's in other various forms of Christian denominations, there's deacons, etc. And so, in a sense, that you could read this kind of as a recipe, and people look at that like a blueprint on, okay, how this is how we're supposed to organize the church. And with this humble beginning of recognizing that some need to be devoted to focusing on prayer and study of Scripture, and others need to be focused on expressing the ministry, then a couple of thousand years later, you get like some of the rather large hierarchies we have. I immediately think of the Roman Church. I'm not as familiar, but I know there's lots of levels. There's bishops and cardinals and et cetera, et cetera. And our own Lutheran Church, we have various levels of that. And just a couple of weeks ago in council meeting, we were once again talking about how to structure ourselves and things like that. But I would suggest to you that this is not so much a recipe, but it's about clarifying what's important. And I would say even holding the center. You know, holding the center, I immediately think of kind of a football formation where if you don't have a good, strong front line, then it's easier for folks to come right on through and disrupt any kind of play you want to do. If you hold the center, then there's room to do things. If you hold the center, you stay on focus. If you hold the center, then you can, it's easy to move forward. For the disciples, holding the center was pretty easy, at least when Jesus was around, because Jesus was the center. Jesus was God incarnate. This Jesus who was connected with God, we believe was God. Even Jesus took time away and went to a lonely place to pray and establish that connection. And then he would go to the synagogues, which were the Jewish churches of the day, so to speak, where to talk about God, to hear the scripture, the Hebrew scriptures, and to interpret and teach that. If you were to sum up what Jesus did, he prayed, he taught, he went around healing. And this praying and teaching, this grounding in connection with God, prayer, and dwelling on and allowing the scripture to continue to speak to and hence through him was the center that Jesus was. And as Simon was called to be a disciple, he came and he followed this Jesus. He, along with the other disciples and the others that took on being those disciples, followed him around. Jesus held that center. Jesus was that center. And, of course, we know then that he went on to be crucified and resurrected and ascended into heaven. The center seemed like it was gone. But, of course, we have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And this Spirit animated, it empowered, it just did marvelous things, and it created this community called the church. And as they started growing, it says they added 3,000 in one day, and then they kept more and more added. I mean, we sometimes have a challenge managing a few hundred people that we have here. Imagine trying to figure out what to do with this large gathering now, this large organization. How were they going to hold the center? And holding the center is key. We were talking a little bit earlier today with the folks in the tech booth about, you know, can you think of times where, let's say, a company or organization's lost its way? And what came out of that conversation was noticing how very often businesses are started by an individual or maybe quite often a family who sees a need in the community, who sees something they can contribute and hence make a living out of it. And so many businesses are born that way. You know, mom and pop stores, other ones, where you have somebody's clarity about what they can provide for society. They have a vision for what it can be. And then, especially folks that are, well, let's just say, a lot of those folks are really clear and have a good conscience. And so as they grow that company, the values and the way that company conducts business is in line with that person or that family's vision and those commitments that they have and the values that they share. But what we talked about today is how when that company is sold, and the center, the original owners of that company that held the vision, that held the values, that had the clarity of what their business was about, when they are removed from the situation, it is so often what happens is that center is lost. And it's more often than not, it becomes a vehicle just for making money, which tends to drive a lot of the values. Not always. I'm not maligning everything that goes on, but it just what came out of it is when an organization loses its center, then it can drift. And it drifts depending upon circumstances and things and can move quite far away from its original purpose and intent. And the church, being full of humans, has that same tendency. Like any institution, it's created, and here we have the initial creation of it. And then as it grows and grows and it folks into habits of doing things a certain way, it's so easy for it then to become just the way we do stuff. and not so much in touch with the meaning. And from today's gospel, this clarity that the 12 disciples had about, okay, basically there was a complaint coming that the women who were the widows that were Greek, which means they spoke Greek as opposed to Aramaic, were kind of getting left out of the distribution. And they were kind of feeling ostracized or, you know, in harsh terms, kind of excluded from what was going from the ministry of the community. And so the apostles were going, okay, how do we deal with this? And there's this tension of, we know it's important to do this, and we know it's important for that to happen. And out of that clarity, they said, here's what we're going to do. We're the 12 disciples. We're going to hold the center. We're going to focus on prayer and study and hold that center on behalf of the community. So then the community can then be freed to participate in how what the Spirit wants to do and how it wants to move. Not that the community is involved in prayer and Bible study also, but there's a group, there's an intentionality and a commitment to holding that center. And these are words that 2,000 years later are important for us to hear. As a Lutheran church, we've had, in broad strokes, 500 years of doing things a certain way. And it's amazing what can get entrenched as critical to our faith, like the color of the carpet or which candle you light first, that are just a decision was made with good intent and then it got moored from its purpose. So also, we get into patterns of being the church which may not involve a lot of discipleship, may not involve a lot of service, may not involve a constant coming together and focusing on the Word. That is why when we gather for worship, we read Scripture. We pray together. We recite creeds over and over and over. We say the Lord's Prayer over and over and over. These represent our commitment to a center. We remember our baptism, which is at the core of understanding of how God's grace is bestowed upon us and how we are claimed by God by bringing us back to the center and focusing on those words and those promises from God. Then there's a chance that we can be ready and prepare ourselves to listen to God anew. Because let's face it, there are so many voices out there now. So many voices coming at us in all kinds of mediums. Internet, radio, TV, billboards. It's coming everywhere at us. Through our phones, everywhere. How are we going to hold the center? How do we stay focused? And how do we make sure that we're still open and listening to it, who God is calling us to be and what God is calling us to do? We have today the story about how the disciples chose to do that by identifying deacons and that we're partners in ministry. This is the ongoing work of the church, is how do we hold the center and then be about what the Spirit, what God is calling us to do. I like to think of it as a releasing of gifts. In the story of Simon, he's a fisherman. He goes fishing. And when Jesus calls him, says, "Follow me," and Simon says, "Yes," he's transformed. He's more of who he is in his best sense. He really becomes not just a fisher of fish, but a fisher of people. This is what happens when we are able to hear the Spirit and let it get in, animate each of us. It releases our gifts. It maybe, if you're an engineer, it turns you into an engineer of salvation, or a teacher of, what do you teach? Well, I teach history, I teach math. How about a teacher of life and a teacher of wisdom? A builder, maybe you build homes. What if you're transformed into a builder of hope and security and safety? Farmers can become growers of peace. Marketers, salespeople, marketers and salespeople of goodwill. Maybe tax collectors can be tax collectors that produce forgiveness. A waiter, which is, as I was thinking through the scripture in Acts, it referred to, you know, we shouldn't be waiting on tables. We should serve the word. And the word there is deacon. We shouldn't be a deacon of tables. We should be a deacon of the word. And so, but waiters are servants. They're deacons. And being to be transformed, and the Holy Spirit can transform to waiters and deacons of compassion. And being nurses, not that just poke people with needles, but nurses that produce and create wholeness. This is what the Holy Spirit does. It animates. It has already equipped us. But through the movement of the Spirit, by holding the center then, it animates and releases these gifts so that life may abound. This is the work of holding the center. This is the work of being a disciple and staying true to the faith and allowing that faith not to be something that happened a long time ago, but be a faith active in love now. Let us pray. Oh God, sustain us with the gift of your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the Spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. Amen. Amen.